net and burns incense to it. His foods. Is he to keep on emptying his net and destroying nations without mercy? So let's go to two. So this is Habakkuk. He is talking to the Lord. He's frustrated. He's seeing some things that he don't like. He's bothered by it. He doesn't understand it. So he's questioning God. He said, I thought you were like this, but you're showing me something different. So God responds here. But before God responds, I like the way Habakkuk sums it up. He says, I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint. And then the Lord replied. And we're just going to do a verse or two. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false like this line. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come, and it will not delay. Well, so that's what we want to plug in at. Just want to do a quick prayer. Father, I thank you for this word tonight. Lord, I ask you to open our minds. Give us an opportunity to delve deep into you, to listen to what you have to say, and even more so importantly, take it and apply it to our lives. Don't let it just be knowledge. Turn it into wisdom. And I just ask that, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. So I am getting older every day that I live. And I'm starting, you know, I can make that contrast now between, 10 years back and 20 years back. And I, my friends change, right? You know, my circle changes. And one thing that I recognize is that some people in my circle, the older they get, the mind closes a little bit. And they start getting stuck in a way. And that bothers me. And so I enjoy, in cases, if I can't be around some of these younger ones, I like to read about the younger ones because that's where my mind is at. You know, when you're 18 or 19 and you ain't got nothing, you don't have no car, you know, you got your first job, your clothes you got because your folks gave them to you, you have dreams. You have ideas. You know, one day I want to be this. I want to live in this kind of house, you know, and I want to have this kind of, maybe I could be. You know, you think about what you like and what you don't like, and you just, your mind is just going. And you're open to risk because you have nothing to lose. You have nothing. You know, what you call yours is what? Your room at mama's house. That's all I got, just my room, you know. I got my Xbox. Or, you know, in my time, it was Atari. That's what I had. Just got me in this Atari, you know. I didn't have much to lose. And as we get older and we start experiencing our first setback, you know. So, you know, when you're younger, you had this picture in your mind, oh, I'm going to get the perfect one, and it's going to be happily ever after. And then you get that first girlfriend, and she dumps you for the other dude who sit across the class. And then you just be crying, but you know you're in high school now, so you got to man up. So you hold that in, you suck it up. Well, your mind kind of changes. You're like, hey, maybe this love ain't all it's cut out to be. And so, and then instead of having that pure heart and pure mind again, you turn that experience into baggage, and you take that with you to the next person. Or, you know, you have this idea that you're gonna build this company, and so you jump on out there. You know, and you're working hard. You're putting in the work. Money ain't coming yet, but you don't even care. You're putting in the work. You meet somebody, and they're talking about how this idea is going to work. You know, it's going to be good. And you're putting in the work. You're putting in the work. You're putting in the work. And then that person takes your work and makes the money and leave off. And then you find out, I didn't have any contract in place. Ah. You're like, I didn't even know I needed that. But he said. And you find out there's laws when it comes to business here. And so you get angry and bitter. And so you, instead of going back into that pure mind of this is what I want to be, this is the dream, this is the vision, you turn that bitterness into baggage. You go out and get a job. You're one of those people on a job, you know, you just complain about everything. You know how they are. That's how we do it. We take that experience and what used to be pure and just full on fire and ready to go, it changes. And we start walking forward, and we're moving forward, we're making progress, but it's different. We're different. That's the picture we have here when Habakkuk is talking to the Lord. He's had some bad experiences. He's like, man, this is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the folks out here, they're prevailing. They got the good cars. They got the ladies. They got the jobs, the businesses that's rolling in. Their stuff is moving forward, but I'm not. And it looks like the other of us, we're not either. It becomes us and them. God, how is it possible, Lord, that you who are just can allow this to happen? How is that even possible? I mean, I thought, you know, I heard this comedian one time. He's a black dude. He says, man, if I get to heaven and God is white, I can understand. I'm like, okay. But if I get up there and he's black, I'm like, hold on, chief. You know, you didn't see what was happening. You don't want to say something. you didn't want to do nothing about some things, you know. That's funny to me. I'm sorry, but it was funny to me when he said it. It's just a joke. We all know God's not a person, so no blasphemy. He's a spirit. He's no colors. It was just a joke. It was just a joke. But it makes you think about it, you know. It just makes you think about, you know, why would you allow these things to happen? And so that's the place where I want to engage us, is this thought of living a life by faith. Because when we live a life by faith, rule number one, you cannot use what you see as your only determining factor. What you see is not the only thing that you can use to say what is and what will be. It is one measurement, that is true, but it is not the only measurement. If it were the only measurement, you would go ahead and quit because nothing will ever change. This is what it is. I call it like I see it. It is this. But if we live a life by faith, we cannot live that way because we have to move towards something that we can't even see. And it was interesting to me how this man is a prophet. He speaks God's word. He proclaims it. And we would say that that is a high status. This man is a prophet of God, a child of God. And isn't it something how a child of God can be in a predicament that does not match with the name or the title? See, we do that together, right? If you see someone and you see them driving a nice car or they have on nice clothes, then you say, those are blessed people. Or if you see someone, you know, and they look young, then we say, ooh, they are happy, they're blessed. So we look at their external appearance to make an assessment on what their status is. But what about when you look at a person and they're sick? Can we still say they're blessed? It's very difficult to do. We talked about that a little bit. You know, at men's Bible study, we're talking about, you know, sometimes it messes with the mind when someone is, you know, they're a child of God, they love the Lord with all their heart, and they're in financial trouble. They have a disease. They've been praying. They want healing. They just had a stroke. Messes with the mind. So wait a minute. I thought my status was child of God. Why don't I have these things that line up to that? Right? It kind of messes with the brain a little bit. So it's interesting to me how, and then I'll be out your hair. It's interesting to me how Habakkuk goes, has this conversation. This is where he's at in life. And this is how the Lord responds. My opinion, you want to live a life of faith, here's just four little tips that I wrote down that I think will help you to do that. Number one, you have to be willing to have the conversation. Got to be willing to talk about it. Got to be willing to express it. Get it out of your brain. Got to be willing to open your mouth about it. Got to be willing to say something. When we keep stuff in too long, you know, we internalize, and I know I'm a talker, so this is an easier item for me to do because I talk. Everyone doesn't do like, I can process while I'm talking. As a matter of fact, it helps me to process if I say it out loud, Okay. I have four thoughts on the brain. When I start hearing here, when I start talking, I can hear it. And actually, it's almost like there's another Dwayne in here listening to that and saying, that didn't make any sense. Because, so I don't think I'm crazy, but I do have this I do have this little conversation that happens. So when I talk out loud, I'm hearing it. I don't know if that happens to any people else, you know, besides me. Actually, I know it does. But anyway, it happens like that. You know, you process that way. You say it out loud, and you get it going. You start processing. We have to be willing to engage our thoughts. We have to be willing to engage the Lord. And it's okay to do it out loud. It's okay to do that. Because if we don't, we internalize it and we start making the Lord in our own image because we just come into our own thinker. So we got to engage him. We got to engage the Lord. And it's okay if it comes out as a complaint. It's not like God is caught off guard and he's like, what did you say? I didn't know you were thinking that. Jesus, did you hear them? That doesn't happen. He knows your thoughts anyway. This is to help you. It helps you. So number one, you have to be willing to say it out loud, get it out there, and discuss it. This even helps with people, too. It's not just a God thing, but it helps with people, too. You can have cases where you're butting heads with someone. They're just doing something that irks you. You never say anything about it, but each time they do it, it just irks you more and more and more, and you just internalize it. Next thing you know, it went from they kind of get on my nerves to you just flat out don't like them. You never, and you never, it's something real simple. It could be they chew with their mouth open. I said, yeah. It could be something, you know, why are you smacking like that? I don't even want to be by you, you know. It could be whatever. But it's like you have to be willing to open it and put it out there. Now, this is the hard part. This is the hard part. When you open it and put it out there, you have to listen for the response. Now, why do I say that's the hard part? Now, I say this all the time in my house. I want to know the truth. I am not saying I like the truth always. I'm not saying that. You know, I am not saying that. I am not saying that. But I need the truth. The truth is like it's like an Advil. It's like medicine. It's good for me. It may not taste good to me. It's like NyQuil. That stuff, man, it's nasty. To me, it is. It's nasty. But when I have a fever and I drink that, next thing I know, I'm waking up. And I don't have a fever no more. It's good for me. When you engage the Lord, when you engage people, you have to be willing to listen to the response. You have to be willing to listen to the response. You have to hear it. One of the things you're going to want to do is when you hear something, you're going to want to justify it. You know, you're going to put up a battle. It's like, but you asked, you know, you engaged. So when the Lord responds, when the person responds, listen. Don't be like, but. Process it. Just process it. Just listen. In this case, the Lord does something only he would do. He says, man, this is happening to me today. And the Lord responds with the future. He says, man, I'm hungry today. One day you're going to be full. But I'm hungry now. I want to eat today. Yeah. Today, he says, you know, man, I'm broke. One day you won't be. Okay, but I'm still broke now. I'd like $2. Lord does something weird. He answers you with something that will happen in the future. That's an interesting thing, something you want to just know. Our concept of time is different between us and God. We live in the realm of time. My understanding, he does not. So, for me, I measure things in this year I accomplished. But he already knows my end. So when he speaks something, it is for me to put my mind there and not here. And this is why I said right out of the get-go, you got to start, you can't just look at what you see as your determining factor. God responds, and he responds by saying, hey, this is going to happen, something in the future. And he says this, and I like it. He says, I want you to write this down and make it clear so that if someone else reads it, even they will be able to run with it. Spend a little time here, and then I'm going to move on. This is a great argument. If I was a writer, and I am not, I was a math person, I would say keep a journal. When you do your prayer time, when you speak to the Lord, I would say jot things down that you believe the Lord's told you. I would say write that down. Write it down in a way that not only does it make sense to you, if you were to give it to somebody else, it makes sense to them. Do that. If you write something down that somebody else reads and benefits from, what do we call that when we do it with our mouth? Say again. It is encouragement. That is encouragement. When we tell someone something that we've gone through, or we've received, and it helps them, that is a testimony. There we go. This is exactly what he just told him. He says, man, I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to make it a testimony so that when the other people read it, they're going to be able to use your testimony and run forward with it. That's important. So I've engaged the Lord. I've talked to him. I've engaged. He's responded. He responds with the future, and he says, write down what I say, because this is your testimony, and others are going to benefit from it. Make it plain. Make it real plain. When you can understand it, the more that you can, we call that apologetics, is when you understand something, you can defend it. He says, man, when I tell you this, I want you to wrap your mind around it, even though you don't see it today. That's cool. That's cool. But still, make sure that you got it. Make sure that you got it and pass it on to others. And others are going to benefit because you're not the only one in this predicament. You ain't the only one. You ain't the only one. You're not the only one going through this. You're not the only one going through this. It feels like it, but you're not the only one going through this. Other people are going through it also, and you are going to be able to help them by jotting it and making it available to them, and they'll be able to run with it. I'm going to say two more things, and I'm going to get out of your hair. I wrote down act or do. I like to listen to, I have a job, but I am an entrepreneur at heart, so I listen to this guy, and he talks about there's a lot of ideas out there, a lot of ideas. What's the difference between the ones that work and the ones that don't? Who did something with them? A lot of ideas. The Lord tells you something, and you do nothing with it. I call that just knowledge. That's just stuff in your head. It's just stuff in your head. What's the point? It's just stuff in your head. Years ago, I learned my mother, God bless her soul, she said this the other day. She was like, I am not good with money. So I did not get my money skills from my mother. When I was real young, there was this guy, and he is one that told me about, this. You need to save. And don't even worry about it. If you do this, man, I promise you, you're gonna be well off. So I put a little something back, and it's like, come hell or high water, I'm just going to put back at least a little something every month. It's the same thing. I'm sure that a whole bunch of people have heard you should save some of your paycheck. I feel 100% confident everybody has heard. Well, in America, 80%. I am confident they have heard you should save. You should save something. You know, I've heard some people say $5. I've heard some people say $100. Really, the number is irrelevant, right? Because everybody makes differently, so that's irrelevant. But it's just the fact of do this. But how many people do it? That's the difference. It doesn't make one person better than the other. I'm just saying it's just knowledge. That's all it is. Just knowledge. But whether you do it or not determines how you apply knowledge, whether you do it or not. I'm making something simple, then we'll move on and so we can close out. But it would be something as simple as, I say, oh, man, I'm overweight. I need to do better. I'm overweight. And the doctor says, well, you should start working out. I say, okay. So I see this commercial for Planet Fitness, $10 a month. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go do that. It's just $10. You know, that's only two for two Whoppers, you know, and a fry and a drink. That's all it is, once a month, and I can go. So I go to the gym for the first time. I'm in there. I've never been before. And I get in there, and I get, just like they said, I get on the elliptical. And I just go up and down, up and down. My thighs are burning. I see the sweat coming down. The thing said I burned 30 calories. I'm like, oh, this is awesome, you know. And I do that for an hour. Then I get done. And I go and I, you know, take off my sweater, look in the mirror. I say, ah, it's no different. Man, this $10, this is a ripoff. I'm out of here. This is no good. You got to do, but not once. You have to keep doing. You have to be persistent. I can't let my eyes be the determining factor, right? So I can't get off that thing, look in the mirror, still see, hanging over the belt means it's not working. You got to keep doing it. You have to keep doing it. You have to keep doing it. Why? Because he's already told me the vision. So it's not because I'm guessing. It's because I know, and I wrote it down. I made it plain. There's no doubt in my mind. When I get foggy, I can go back and read it again. Yep, this is what I'm supposed to do. Later, I didn't read it, but he talks about what the vision was. But it's like, this is what I know to do. So do that. Even if you don't see the benefits up front, be consistent. Do that. Man, that would save so many people some headaches if they would do that. Whether it be with working out, whether it be with saving. Do right because it's the right thing to do. Do right because it's the right thing to do. That's living a life by faith. I'm told that this is the right thing to do. Hey, I have not always gotten a benefit from telling the truth. But it's the right thing to do. I got fired for telling the truth. True story. I was just telling someone this today. I went and told a boss something, and I said it directly. And the person called me to the side and said, hey, you need to be cautious with how you talk to him. I was like, why would I do that? I was looking for work when I got this place. I can look again. It's just a job, but I should not lower my integrity just because someone is higher on the food chain than me. That's just a man. And I told them this story. I says, I used to work at Best Buy. I was a PC technician back in the day. It was in the 90s. I was a PC technician. They had a little place you walk in there. Today they call it the Geek Squad. But back in the day, and I'll be the one to change out your hard drive or put memory in there. Anyway, they had a party one night. So it was at this guy's apartment at this party. And so while we're there at this party, one guy comes to me and says, hey, can you replace the hard drive in my computer? I said, sure, man. I was like, but you know what? If you ask the boss, man, he might give you a hookup. You can get it done at the job because then you'll get, you know, get discounts and warranties on the stuff. I said, but if not, I'll do it. So that's what happened. 2 days later, I'm at work. Hey, Dwayne, come in my office. Let me talk to you. I said, yeah, what's going on, boss man? There's a little incident. Just want you to, you know, just trying to find out what happened. So I tell him the story. And he says, oh, so is that all that happened? I said, yeah, that's all that happened. I say exact honest thing to him. He says, well, I tell you what, you know, I'm hearing some stuff from corporate. So just write this down. This way I can clear this up with them and let them know that there is nothing bad going on. Sure, boss. And I write it down. I get fired the next day. And it was because I was doing a conflict of interest. I was taking business from Best Buy. True story. True story. I said then that day, man, that man took my honesty and he misused it. He perverted it. And so it was that day that I learned I will never, ever, 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 ever. Did I say ever? Yeah, make sure. I will never, ever, ever, ever see a boss man as any different than just a man, because they're not created equal. If I got to go for telling the truth, then that's what I'd rather do, because that's what I did. I wasn't being dishonest and trying to say I'm out there soliciting to take money from Best Buy. The dude asked me, you know, he asked me. I never said, but anyway, I got off track. I'm rabbit trailed. I think it's something about that spot. But anyway, the point of the matter is this. You have to do. And you don't just do once. You have to do it over and over and over. It's not just a one-time thing. Do right because right is the right thing to do. That's the way that you got to put it in your DNA. I think that's why diets don't work, because you're doing something for a short period of time to get a particular result. If eating right is right, then eat right, period. It's the right thing to do. If you lose weight, great. If you don't, great. But if it's the right thing to do, then do that. That's the way I see it. If lying is wrong, then don't do it. Why? Because it's the wrong thing to do. Even if it can be to your advantage in this one case or the other, don't do it. Why? Because it's the wrong thing to do. So get into a habit of doing. If you have knowledge and you don't use it, that is just a waste of information. You might as well be Wikipedia. But if you want wisdom, wisdom is taking the knowledge that you have, putting it into practice, and the Lord told him, this is the vision, this is the right thing to do. Go and do that regardless of what you see. The last thing I'll say, then I'm out your hair, and that is, we said, don't let your vision be your only determining factor of where you're at. Don't let what you see be the thing that stops you. If at any point in time when you're walking in a life of faith, you have an item, you start back over again from the top. Engage. Have the conversation. Talk to the Lord. Hey, man, I know you told me this, but I'm having doubts. I wrote the vision. I listened to you. I heard what you had to say. It doesn't look like I'm seeing. That is a normal process. That's normal. It's normal. We get weak sometimes. We do. That's perfectly okay. They have some letters that Mother Teresa wrote to some, if you're, you know, I hope no disrespect, but to some fathers in the Catholic Church. But she was weak. She was like, man, I'm out here, I'm feeding these folks, and it seems like it's not getting any better. Man, our faith gets weak sometimes. We're fighting the good fight. We're doing what we know to do is right, and it just seemed like the breakthrough is not coming. He tells us that he is strong when we're weak. It is perfectly okay. It is perfectly normal. You are not a weak person. You are not a bad person. What you are is a human. If Jesus himself can say, God incarnate, if Jesus himself can say, you know what, Daddy? If you want to change your mind about this, I ain't going to be mad at you. That's my message version. But he said, man, if it would be your will, man, let this cup pass from me. If he can say that, then how come I can't? We're just tired. We're just weak. I know what the truth is. I know what the truth is. I know what the truth is. I know it. I wrote the vision. It's plain. I'm running. Man, I'm just about give out. Go right back and say that. Be honest. One thing about being honest, it does make you vulnerable. It makes you vulnerable, you know, because you can wake up one day in life and be like, I'm 45 and I just moved back in with my mom. You know, I can't believe this. Be honest. Be vulnerable. And give him an opportunity to speak back to you. Hey, write the vision. Let me tell you what's going to happen. And I want you to write this down because it's a testimony. You're not the only one. You're not the first person this has happened to, and you're not going to be the last. So write this down, because this is what you're going to use to not only help yourself, but this is what you're going to use to help others. And once you do that, it goes right back to step number 3. Now go do. Go be. Go be. Go be. If I could do anything, I would... I think the greatest gift people have is the ability to do self-analysis. That's one of the things we're bad at. But man, if I could give you the ability to look at yourself and really do self-analysis of yourself to say, man, what am I good at? What am I gifted at? What just comes natural to me? If you would do that to your own life, you would save yourself a bunch of headache and not trying to chase after things you're just not good at, places you just really don't belong. And we call it, you know, oh, we got strife behind it. But it's a very important question. That's what the Lord asked his kids in the Garden of Eden. He said, Adam, where are you? We know that he wasn't talking about physical location because he's omniscient. But he's asking him, think about it, dude. What's going on with you? Where are you at? If you would do self-analysis, that would really help you with what your gifts are, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and that would help you to put your mind on the things that matter, where you're naturally gifted, instead of the junk and the other things. Anyway, I hope that helped you tonight. I did pretty good on time, so I'm supposed to stop around 30. I think I got 3 minutes. So, Father, I just thank you for your word today. We want to be people who live by faith. Lord, it's difficult for some of us to open up and talk to you. And Father, I just ask you to help us with that. We don't know how to do it. It's scary, seems weird. But help us to engage that process. And when we talk to you, Lord, I just ask you that the second thing is help us to hear. And that's scary and weird too. Are you going to say something? Is it going to be audible? Will it be a thought in my mind? Will it be the little small voice? I don't know. But help us to do it so often that when you speak, I know your voice without a shadow of a doubt. I'm your child, and I know that your sheep know your voice. So help us develop that. And once we hear you, let your words be so good to us that it's not knowledge, that it's wisdom, and we walk it out. So I just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And God bless Christian Center of Fort Worth. All right. Hoorah.